Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salah, hayya 'ala salah, hayya 'ala al-falah, hayya 'ala al-falah. Qad qamati salah, qad qamati salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Darse Quran will be imparted. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فهل عسيتم إن توليتم أن تفسدوا في الأرض وتقطعوا أرحامكم؟ أولئك الذين لعنهم الله فأصمهم وأعمى أبصارهم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. فهل عسيتم، is it expected إن توليتم، that if you are given authority أن تفسدوا في الأرض، you would spread corruption on earth، وتقطعوا أرحامكم and cut family ties. أولئك الذين، these are the people، لعنهم الله، whom Allah Ta'ala has cursed. فأصمهم، and he has deafened. وأعمى أبصارهم، and he has made them blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions, after speaking about the mu'minun and the believers and their desire for a ayah or a surah to be revealed in which the permission of jihad is granted to the believers, Allah Ta'ala says, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. Is it possible that if you are given authority, إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. This word تَوَلَّيْتُمْ, there are two tafsirs and two explanations. The first tafsir is, that tawallaytum here means to be given or granted authority, to be made a ruler. This is the opinion of the likes of Allama Qurtubi rahimahullahu ta'ala and Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahimahullahu ta'ala and others. And if we take this tafsir, then in this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the mu'minun. He is addressing the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the believers that you want me to reveal a surah or an ayah in which I give you permission to carry out jihad and fight against the enemy. Now I will grant you this permission. Once you have been granted this permission, then because you are on the straight path, sooner or later you are going to gain victory. And once you gain victory, you will now become the rulers. You will take over the land and you will now begin to rule over the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is posing this question to the believers, that is it possible that if you are given authority to rule over others, you would spread corruption on earth and you would sever, you would cut family ties? And the reason behind this question is that when somebody is granted leadership, when someone gains authority, when somebody becomes a ruler, then naturally, humbleness leaves his heart and pride enters it. Humility leaves his heart and arrogance enters his heart. And once a person becomes proud, once a person becomes arrogant, now he will begin to oppress. He will begin to cause mischief. He will begin to spread corruption. And he will begin to discard the rights of others. And from the many rights of others, one of the great rights is the rights of one's family members and one's relatives. Yes, if a person rules, he fulfills his responsibility of authority and leadership with this in mind, then my Allah is watching me. There will be a consequence for my actions. I may have leadership today, but sooner or later, I also have to answer somebody. Now this person will rule with complete justice. Because this person knows that it doesn't end with me, just because I am the leader, just because I am the ruler. I am also under somebody's rule. In all other systems, the person at the top feels that I have no one to answer to. You have a principal in a school. So he may feel, I don't have to answer anybody. The students will fear that we have to answer the teachers. The teachers will fear we have to answer the principal. And as far as it may go, but it gets to a stage where somebody is at the top and they feel that we have no one to answer. So if we cut corners here, nobody is going to find out. If someone does find out, what can they do to us? It's for this reason that those who are in leadership roles around the world, be it on a very small level or be it on the level of leadership of countries, because they don't have the concept of Akhirah, the hereafter, and the concept of Allah Ta'ala, answering to Allah Ta'ala. This is why as soon as they assume their position, they feel that now we can rule as we want. And corruption spreads. Oppression becomes rife. This is why when Sayyiduna Rib'i ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu went into the court of the Persian Empire of the time, Rustum, the Muslims, on the occasion of the Battle of Qadisiyah, the commanding chief was Sayyiduna Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. They reach the border of Persia. So the great leader, Persia was the superpower of the time. So the leader Rustum, He said that send somebody from your army as a spokesperson. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent Sayyiduna Rabi' ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. He was on a very simple means of conveyance. His clothing extremely simple, torn in many parts. His sword was extremely simple. He didn't even have a proper sheath on his sword. So when the courtiers and the guards saw Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu coming towards the palace, they were very surprised because there was protocol. Rustum was made to sit on a throne. There was gold, rubies, emeralds. The carpet was laid out. There were expensive cushions, expensive curtains. And this very simple man is walking in this state. They thought that whoever comes as a spokesperson for the Muslims, he will also be dressed in a very elegant manner and he will have a very expensive horse. But it was completely the opposite. So they said to Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you cannot enter the court of our leader in this manner. You want to come into Buckingham Palace, there are protocols. You have to dress in a certain manner. So Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu replied that I haven't come to you, you've called me. So if you wish, I can return. When a person has iman and he has that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nobody can instill fear in such a person. This is what we have forgotten as Muslims today. We are chasing the world because we think that those pounds will give us some honor and respect. That nice car will give us honor and respect. That big mansion will give us honor and respect. Our clothing will give us honor and respect. But the Sahaba showed us that it's completely the opposite. The more you run away from this world, the more this world will chase you. And the more you chase this world, you will never be able to catch the world. It's just like a shadow. If you chase your shadow, you can't catch it. But just turn around and the shadow will chase you. So Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his message was sent to Rustum that this is what he is saying. Rustum said, let him in. We are in need of him. So he walks into the palace dragging his sword against that expensive carpet, ripping it all away. And thereafter he ties his horse against one of the very elegant, expensive curtains of this emperor. So Rustum asks him, that why have you come to our land? Why have you come to our land? Now today, all of those countries who go into other people's lands to wage war, they will say that we are here to remove oppression. But that's just what they say with their tongue. The reality is they have gone there either to take their gold, either to take their oil, either to take their resources. Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, إِبْتَعَثَنَ اللَّهُ بِالْحَقِّ Allah ta'ala has sent us to you with the haq and with the truth. We have come with the message of Islam, the message of Tawheed. We have come to invite you towards a system which if you were to accept, Allah Ta'ala will grant you success in this world also and in the hereafter also. We have not come to take anything away from you. We have come to give you. What do you have that we can take from you? Because that person who understands the value of iman, he He will understand that everything else has no value whatsoever. So we haven't come to take your land. We've come to give you something which is far more precious. We've come with the haq and the truth. And thereafter he mentioned three objectives. Objective number one. جِئْنَا لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ The first reason we have come is so that we can liberate the slaves from the slavery of the slaves and introduce them towards the slavery of the Rabb of the slaves. First reason. We have all become the slaves of the slaves. We are all slaves of Allah Ta'ala. So before doing anything, the first thought that crosses our mind is that if I was to do this, what will he think? What will she say? And we do things to please others. Whereas in reality, the objective should be that what will Allah say and what will Allah think? We fear that if I don't do this, what will he say? Or if I do this, what will he say? أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى Allah Ta'ala raises this question in the Quran. That do you fear the people? Whereas in reality, Allah Ta'ala is more worthy of being feared. So the first reason we have come here is so that we can liberate the people from being the slaves of slaves. And we can introduce them towards being the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Number two. وَمِن دِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سِعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ The second reason we have come here is that we want to take the servants and the people out from the narrowness of this world and land them into the vastness of the Akhirah. Because again, if we were to ponder over our lives, what do we see? We are spending day and night in trying to gain as much of this world as we possibly can. This is where all the effort is. All our time, all our effort, all our resources are being spent in trying to gain as much world as we can. But this world is extremely narrow. It is so narrow that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَةٍ مَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِنْهَا شُرْبَةَ مَائِنْ If this entire world in the eyes of Allah was equivalent to one wing of a mosquito, He would not have given a single sip of water to that person who did not believe in Him. So the whole world is not even equivalent to one wing of a mosquito. So all that we are trying to acquire, how much can one person acquire from this entire world? Even if he becomes the richest man, he still will probably not have 1% of this world. So what has he gained? So this narrowness of the world. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَدْ دُنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مِثْلُ مَا يَجْعَلُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِصْبَعَهُ فِي الْيَمْ فَلْيَنْظُرُ بِمَا يَرْجِ That this world in comparison to the hereafter is not but like one of you places a finger in the ocean and then he should see what returns. So that water which is on the finger, which is maybe one drop or two drops, that's this world. And the remainder of the ocean, that's the akhirah, the hereafter. And that's just an example. Because that water of the ocean is also limited and akhirah is unlimited. So what did Rabi' ibn Amir radiallahu anhu say? مِن دِيقِ الدُّنْيَا We have come to take the people out from the narrowness of this world. They are spending all their time and effort to gain something which is like one drop on this finger, which is less than a wing of a mosquito. So we are trying to open up their eyes that you are wasting all your effort in trying to gain this very narrow thing. Let us introduce you to something, ila si'atil akhirah, the vastness of the hereafter. How vast? Jannatin arduha as-samawati wal ard. That Jannah, the vastness of which is the seven heavens and the earth. It's so vast that the last person to enter Jannah, his Jannah will be 10 times the size of this entire world. And finally, number 3, the third reason we have come here, وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The reason we have come is to liberate the people from all the man-made systems and the man-made laws of this world, which are all unjust, which are all oppressive. So we have come to take them out from these oppressive systems of the world, and we have come to land them in the just system of Islam. This is why we have come to the land. That once the Muslims will begin to rule, and the people will be living under the rulership of the correct Sharia law, not the Sharia law which the media portrays to be something barbaric, then the entire world will see that this is the law under which we want to live. Because under that law, there will be no oppression. Under that law, no one's right will be discarded. That is that law that when Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was leading, and under his rulership, the world was living, then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, that if in the most furthest part of Iraq, لو هلك شات في أقصى العراق, if one goat was to be unjustly killed in the furthest part of Iraq, then me, Umar, the Amirul Mu'mineen, I fear that Allah Ta'ala will question me on the day of Qiyamah that you did not rule properly. So imagine how the system must have been in that time, that not even one animal would unjustly be killed. And this is why the second Umar, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he passed away, there were some shepherds. These shepherds, they were grazing their animals when suddenly one wolf attacked a sheep. So instantly the shepherds sent to one another, that it seems as though Umar bin Abdul Aziz, our ruler, has passed away. How did they know this? Because during the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, there was such justice on earth that even a wolf in whose nature it is to attack a sheep would not attack a sheep. And as soon as he passed away, then they went back to their normal nature. So those who try to plant this in our minds, and even as Muslims, because it keeps being injected in our mind that jihad is something barbaric, jihad is something wrong, jihad is something evil, we even hesitate to use this word. This is why very rarely you will hear this word. So they have corrupted our mind. The reality is that this is something beautiful, this is something which is sanctified. Jihad is not that you go and oppress people or you go and kill people. Jihad is simply that wherever you see that over here there is oppression and people are being oppressed, their rights are being discarded, then you go there and you remove that oppression so that people can live with peace. This is jihad. This is why those who participate in jihad, they fight under strict laws. A Muslim soldier will never kill an innocent soul. He will never take the life of a civilian. They will not attack women. They will not attack children. They will not take land. They will not destroy trees. There are all these rules. Where will you find this in any other system? So this is the first tafsir here. فَهَلْ أَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ Allah Ta'ala is addressing the mu'minun and the believers. And by asking this question, that is it possible that if you are given authority, you would spread corruption on earth and sever family ties? By asking this question, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is emphasizing to the mu'minun that this should not happen when you become rulers. Allah Ta'ala is saying to the believers that after you take over and you become the rulers, do not be like others, that now you begin to treat people how you want and you begin to rule how you want. No, you must ensure that no corruption spreads on earth and no one's right is discarded. Second tafsir. The second meaning of tawallaytum is to turn one's face away from something. To turn away from something. And in this instance, there is then three possibilities as to how we can explain this ayah. The first one. The first is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the munafiqun. The hypocrites are being addressed. And by raising this question, this is in the terminology of the linguist, is called istifham taqriri. What this means is that Allah Ta'ala is saying to them that this is going to happen. Allah Ta'ala is saying to the hypocrites that this will happen. What will happen? That if you become the rulers, sorry, فَهَلْ أَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ now means, if you turn your face away. So Allah Ta'ala is saying to the hypocrites, if you turn away from this command of jihad, the permission of jihad has come down now. The believers, they will go and fight. But you are the hypocrites. So if you turn your face away from the command of jihad and you don't go and fight, then what will happen? Corruption will spread on earth and people's rights will be discarded. And together with the munafiqun and the hypocrites, those mu'minun and believers, they are also being addressed. Who in the future, due to their cowardly nature, will also not participate in jihad when jihad becomes compulsory. They are also being addressed. And the munafiqun are being addressed. Why? Why would this happen? Because if you don't fight against an oppressive system, then they are going to continue to be the leaders. They will continue to rule. Now when they will continue to rule and they will continue to be leaders, what's going to happen on earth? There is going to be corruption and people's rights are going to be discarded. So Allah Ta'ala is saying to the munafiqun also and those believers who in the future may turn their face away from jihad when jihad is compulsory upon them. That if you turn your face away from jihad when it is compulsory, you are going to become the means of corruption on earth and you are also going to be the means of many rights being discarded. Because you are not wiping away that oppressive system which is sitting in front of you. Number two, a second possibility is that Allah Ta'ala here is addressing all of the non-Muslims, hypocrites as well as the kuffar. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is saying to them that if you were to turn your face away from Iman, the previous one is if you turn your face away from jihad. Now, if you turn your face away from Iman, so you are being invited towards Iman. If you don't accept Iman and you turn your face away from Iman, If you turn your face away from accepting Iman, then what is going to happen? The majority in this world will be the non-Muslims. And when majority will be non-Muslims, they will have the upper hand and they will rule. And when they will be the majority and they will rule, then just as in the days of ignorance, there was much corruption on earth and many rights were being discarded. In the same manner, there will be much corruption on earth and many rights will be discarded. In the days of ignorance, there was no sila rahmi, there was no joining the ties of kinship with relatives. Those who had influence, then they would devour and consume those who were weak. Prejudice, racism was very rife. Girls would be buried alive. So oppression and discarding the rights was something which was the order of the day. So this is what will happen if you turn your face away from Iman. So in other words, accept Iman. And number three, Allama Shabbir Ahmed Uthmani rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions that Allah ta'ala here is addressing the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them that if you were to turn your face away from fighting against the enemy at the initial stage when the command of jihad is given, then your trait is that وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. When you go back to your leaders, you say to your leaders that in reality we are with you. We are not with the mu'minun. We just pretend to be with them. Really we are with you. So what will happen? You will go back to them, you will say we are with you, and then when you will fight, you will not fight with the Muslims, you will fight with the non-Muslims. You will be on their side. So you will be part of this army now. The army of the disbelievers. But many of your relatives have accepted Islam. So when you will fight with the non-Muslims, you will be fighting against your own relatives and your own family. So فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. Is it not possible that if you turn your face away from jihad and then you fight and you be part of the enemy, and تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, you will cause corruption on earth, وَتُقَطِّئُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ, and you will become a means of cutting family ties. You will be cutting family ties because you will be fighting against your own relatives who have accepted Islam. So from the many things which have been mentioned in this ayah, one important point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about an individual who turns his face away from fighting in the path of Allah and Iman. That if a person does this, it will result in oppression, it will result in injustice having the upper hand. And the result of this will be corruption will become rife. And when corruption will become rife, then there will be no care for fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person will not have any care for fulfilling the rights of the servants of Allah ta'ala. And from the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one very important right which will be discarded is what is known as sila rahmi, joining ties with one's relatives. So two things have been mentioned. One is causing corruption on earth. Allah Ta'ala mentions tilka darul akhirah, the world of the hereafter. Naj'aluha, we have made it. For who? Lilladhina la yuriduna uluwan, for those people who do not intend to have any pride on earth, wala fasada, and who do not intend to cause any corruption. This is who Jannah has been prepared for. So we have to refrain from corruption. Now, corruption could be on a very high level also, killing somebody, theft, this is also corruption. And lying, cheating, accusing, backbiting, slandering, This is all corruption. So one is corruption. And the second point which has been mentioned here is وَتُقَطِّعُ أَرْحَامَكُمْ, to sever or to cut family ties. There are four relationships which are extremely important. Relationship number one is the relationship between the children and the parents. This is the most powerful and the most strong relationship. It is not permissible to sever or cut this relationship at any time. If children are not on talking terms with their parents and their parents are unhappy with them, and what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That even during blessed nights, like the 15th night of Sha'ban, like Laylatul Qadr, when everybody else is being forgiven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, do not forgive these children. So relationship between children and parents, this is the strongest. Number two, the relationship between two brothers, two sisters, brother and sister, siblings. Relationship number three is the relationship with one's relatives, uncle, aunt, cousins. And finally, the fourth relationship is between two Muslims. So in all of these instances, Islam has taught us that it is not permissible for us to sever or cut the relationship. If you have an argument with somebody, you have a fight with somebody, it's not permissible for you to now cut this relationship, that I will go my way and you go your way. And then you inform your children also that we don't talk to them. We don't want to know them. This is not allowed. Islam has told us that sila rahmi, the word sila rahmi means, over here Allah Ta'ala has used وَتُقَطِّئُ أَرْحَامَكُمْ. So arham means the wombs. Rahm. Rahm means womb. Rahim. So all those relationships which are connected to the womb. So two brothers are connected to one another because they are both from the same womb. A nephew and his maternal uncle are connected. Why? Because your maternal uncle and your mother, they are from the same womb. You are connected to your paternal uncle because your paternal uncle and your father, they are from the same womb. So to join ties with one's relatives, this is that deed upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised you and I those two things which each and every person wants in this world. What are they? Number one, an abundant amount of wealth, and number two, a long life. Somebody has an abundant amount of wealth. He has millions. But he is told, tomorrow is your last day. What's the point of having an abundant amount of wealth? And somebody has a long life. He is told, you will live in the world for 200 years. But he doesn't have a single penny. From a worldly point of view, what's he going to do in the world? So you need both. From a worldly point of view, you want both. Abundant amount of wealth also, and a long time in this world also. Then you can enjoy yourself. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man ahabba ayyubsata lahu rizquhu wa ayyunsa'a lahu atharuhu falyasil rahimahu. That person who wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads out for him his rizq and his sustenance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a long life, he should join ties with his relatives. This is the benefit, one benefit of joining ties with relatives. And the opposite of this is that you don't join ties with your relatives, you cut ties with your relatives. You cut ties with your relatives. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Sahih, as well as Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, have narrated a hadith reported by Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the entire creation. He created everything. And after creating the entire creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once He completed creating the creation, قَامَتِ الرَّحِيمِ, this sila rahmi, joining ties with one relatives, stood up. Now Allah ta'ala has power over everything. So if He wants, He can give a form to even something which normally is not tangible. Otherwise you and I will say, that how can joining ties with one relative stand up? This is not a human, it's not a body, it's not something physical. So either the angel spoke to Allah Ta'ala on behalf of Sila Rahmi, or Sila Rahmi was given a tangible body and it stood up in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Joining ties with one's relative stood up in the court of Allah. And thereafter it said to Allah Ta'ala, هذا مقام العائذ من القطيعة. This is the station of one who seeks refuge in you from being severed, from being cut off. In other words, O Allah, I am asking you that you save me from being cut off in the world. I don't want to be cut off in the world. I want to be remain joint. In other words, I want people to remain joint with their relatives. So upon this, Allah Ta'ala replied and said, that when you listen to this, a person with the slightest of intellect, after listening to this hadith, he will never think of severing and cutting ties with any of his relatives, no matter how bad they may be, no matter how wrong they have done to you. What did Allah Ta'ala say? أَمَا تَرْضَيْنَا, does this not please you? أَنْ أَصِلَ مَنْ وَصَلَكِ وَأَقْطَعَ مَنْ قَطَعَكِ, does this not please you? That whoever will join you, I have made this decision, whoever will join you in the world, then I will join him to me. And whoever will cut you, then I will cut him off from me. And when a person is cut off from Allah Ta'ala, then there is this fear that he will leave this world without iman. Because if Allah Ta'ala says that I want you nowhere near me, then where's the furthest this can go? That a person loses his iman. So this is extremely severe. Extremely severe. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith mentions that الرَّحِمُ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِالْأَرْشِ تَقُولُ. Again, this sila rahmi, joining ties with one's relatives, is hung, it's suspending from the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And it is saying, مَنْ وَصَلَنِي, he who joins me, وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah will join him. وَمَنْ قَتَعَنِي قَتَعَهُ اللَّهُ, and whoever will cut me, Allah Ta'ala will cut him. And then on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the narration reported by Imam Ibn Abi Shaybah rahimahullahu ta'ala and others, that إِنَّ لِلْرَّحِمِ لِسَانًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will give this joining ties with one's relatives a tongue. On the day of Qiyamah, تَحْتَ الْأَرْشِ, under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And it will speak and it will say. What will it say? Ya Rab, O my Rab, قُتِعْتُ, in the world, I was cut. Ya Rab, ظُلِمْتُ, O my Rab, I was oppressed. Ya Rab, أُسِيءُ إِلَيَّ, O my Rab, I was wronged. In other words, people did not used to keep a good relationship with their relatives. فَيُجِيبُهَا رَبُّهَا, so Allah Ta'ala will reply and say, أَلَا تَرْضَيْنَا أَنْ أَصِلَ مَنْ وَصَلَكِ وَأَقْطَعَ مَنْ قَطَعَكِ, does this not please you, that whoever joined you in the world, today I will join him with me, and whoever cut you in the world, I will cut him off from me. So this shows us how important this is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعٌ. That person who cuts off his relationships with his relatives will not enter Jannah. He will not enter Jannah. لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَن يَهْجُرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. It is not permissible for a Muslim to not be on talking terms with another Muslim. Any Muslim, whether he's a relative or not a relative. It is not permissible to not be on talking terms with another Muslim فوق ثلاث, for more than 3 days. So Islam has kept in mind the nature of the human. Two people have a fight, two people have an argument. It's not that straight away you're going to say that, let's make up. But normally after 3 days, a person has calmed down. So Islam has given you this moment of respite, that you have 3 days to calm down. After 3 days, now you have to make up. If you don't make up after 3 days, famata, and you are to die in this state that you are not in talking terms with another Muslim, then dakhal an-nar, such a person will enter the fire of Jahannam. So this is why this is very important, that we remain on good terms with all Muslims, and even more with our relatives, even more with our siblings, and even more with our parents. Now, one final point here, that as far as breaking ties with others is concerned, normally when this topic is discussed, then only one point comes in our mind. That if I am not on talking terms with somebody, that means I am breaking ties with him. There is also a second way in which you can break ties, and that is by making two parties break ties. So you are not breaking ties with somebody, but you are making two other people break ties. And this is something which is very common in this day and age. Especially when a divorce takes place. When a divorce takes place, and usually in this country, the woman gets custody of the children. Now she prevents the children from seeing the father. She prevents the father from seeing the children. Whereas we've just learned that this is the greatest connection between children and parent. So you have divorced and you are separate from your husband. That does not give you the right, from an Islamic point of view, that you prevent your children from seeing the father and you prevent the father from seeing the children. Otherwise, you will also be part of this warning and under the label of those people who are breaking family ties. And Allah Ta'ala in this ayah further is saying, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. These are the people upon whom Allah Ta'ala sends down His curse. So when Allah Ta'ala sends down His curse upon someone, what this means is, he becomes far from the rahmah and the mercy of Allah. And any goodness we have in this world is because of the rahmah and mercy of Allah. So when a person, the curse of Allah Ta'ala descends on him, and he becomes far from the mercy of Allah, then what goodness is he going to find in his life? And from all the goodness, the greatest is Iman. So when the curse of Allah descends, the final result could be that this person is deprived of Iman. But again, this is very common. If the children, if the wife has the custody, then she makes the environment such, and she will inject these thoughts in the children's mind that we no longer want anything to do with the father now. And if it's the other way around, that the father has custody, he will do the same. So number one, Allah Ta'ala protect us from divorce. But in those scenarios where it has got to this stage, it's very important that you don't let this go beyond. It's seen that even at a time like a funeral, the heart becomes so hard that the grandfather is passing away, the grandmother is passing away. But the woman will say to the kids that we don't go there, we don't go to that house. Even at that time, they are not allowed to go and see the grandfather who is in his final moments. They are not allowed to participate in the funeral. So this is all under this of breaking ties. So breaking the ties of relationships and family ties, this is a very severe sin. Sayyidina Burayda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard some noise. So he asked and inquired that what is happening. So he was informed that a slave girl is going to be sold. Now this slave girl was an Umme Walad. What this means is that this slave girl, after having relationships with her master, she had a daughter. Now if she is sold, she will be separated from her daughter. So for this reason, she was trying to fight her case that I don't want to be sold, because if I am sold, I will be separated from my daughter and I want to remain with my daughter. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu called the Muhajirin and the Ansar. One lesson we learn from here is that look how much justice there is in the system of Islam. That even a slave girl has rights. The systems of today, all they have is political speeches. Flowery speeches, flowery articles, political speeches. They will chant the slogans of human rights. Whereas the entire world can see that there's not a single right. Islam has rights for each and every individual to this extent that even a slave girl, Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he doesn't turn his face away from this. That it's only a slave girl, it doesn't matter. He calls the Muhajirin and the Ansar. Another point we learn, which is very important. Today, every individual thinks to himself that I am Mufti Azam. I am the Grand Mufti. I can issue the verdict. I don't need to study my religion. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu calls the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the remaining Muhajirin and Ansar. He could have issued the verdict himself. He was the Grand Mufti of Madinatul Munawwara at the time. He was Amirul Mu'mineen. What can be said of the knowledge of Umar? But no. To run an institution, you need a shura and a committee. And with this shura and committee, you need an Amir. Very important. You don't have a shura and a committee and you don't have an amir, you have already failed. Everything will be run on an ad hoc basis. Somebody is doing one thing, somebody is doing something else. Umar radiallahu anhu had a shura, and who was part of the committee? The wealthy, the doctors. Another problem. If somebody has a degree, he thinks, I know how to run the masjid. Somebody is wealthy, so he thinks, I can run the masjid. The ulama, they have their barriers. They have their boundaries. The muftis, they have their boundaries. So can the public please remain within your boundaries? You do not know how to, this is not your field. You cannot run a masjid. You cannot run a madrasa. You cannot run dini institutions. Look up and down the country. We have gone so far away that we do not even have the simple and the basic knowledge. Nobody goes to the doctor's surgery and says that today you go home, I will run the surgery and I will look after the patients. Umar radiallahu anhu called the Muhajirin and the Ansar that what should we do? He did mashwara. So the Muhajirin and the Ansar said, that there is a woman on one side, there is a mother on one side, and there is a daughter on one side. It's not right that we separate these people. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I also feel the same. I also feel the same. So the Muhajirin and Ansar said, well then, in light of the Quran and Hadith, you should issue a verdict. So upon this, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited this ayah of the Quran. That فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ, in which Allah Ta'ala is mentioning regarding the cutting of family ties. And thereafter, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that what greater family tie can there be than this, that there is a mother on one side and a daughter on one side. It's not possible that we can separate them. So he issued the verdict that it is not permissible for you to sell a slave girl who has a daughter, because you will be separating the two. So causing corruption on earth and cutting and severing the family ties, these are two such evils that Allah Ta'ala says regarding such people, His curse will descend upon such people. And when His curse will descend, فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has deafened such people and made them blind. Now they will not be able to listen to the truth. If they do listen, they will not understand it correctly. They will understand it incorrectly. And even if they understand it correctly, they will not have the ability to practice. And they will be blind from the truth. They will not be able to see the truth. In other words, the doors of Hidayah will close for them. Allah Ta'ala's curse will descend. They will go very far away from Hidayah. And before passing away, they will leave this world without Iman. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to understand the severity of this. May Allah Ta'ala save us from causing any form of corruption on earth. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also grant us the ability to join ties with our relatives. Every once in a while, you should send a text message. You can call them. You can send a hadiah, a gift. Asking how you are is not difficult in this day and age. There was a time when these things were difficult, but they would be done on a daily basis. And today, these things are so easy, but years pass by and we don't keep these points in mind. So this is also part of our deen. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم. السلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.